Good morning, everybody. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Yisro, Tavshin Pei Aleph. Our learning this morning and this shmur should be a zchus for Fuva Shlema Bukharov to Yehuda Aryeh Alter Ben Chaya, a grandfather of one of our alumni who is not well. He's in the ICU and he needs a Fuva Shlema Bukharov. There's a vort I remember saying and also reading a number of years ago that is such a powerful life lesson that I have to say it over. But I couldn't find the source. But the Torah, we know, this week's parasha, there's a Dibros, and it's called Yisro. And we're giving tremendous praise to Yisro. Here's Yisro, who is a Kohen Midjan. He was certainly involved. He said that he tried out, involved in all the forms of Avodah Zarah. And then he came to the conclusion that Torah is the MS, and following a Kodesh Baruch is the MS. And we seem to make a big deal about the fact that Yisro came from where he came from, and he converted. He changed his whole life. He transformed his entire life to accept upon himself the yoke of Torah and mitzvahs when he didn't have to. But the Mephoshim ask, asks, the Mishnah always tells us that Kachi Darcho Shel Torah, this is the way of Torah, Pas Melech Tochov, Aretz Tishon, Chai Tzara Tichya, v'chule, v'chule, and then it says, Imata Oisekein, Ashrecho Bolam Hazav, Ashrecho Bolam Haba, right? So the Mishnah tells us that if you learn Torah, if you connect to Torah, so then you'll be Ashrecha praised in this world and the next world, implying that you're going to enjoy it. So what's the great kunz? What's the great milo that Yisro gave up everything to become Jewish? It's poshut that it's enjoyable. That's what it says. That, right? Ashrecha b'olam haza, right? V'tov lach b'olam haba. Right? Ashrecha v'tov lach, Ashrecha b'olam haza, v'tov lach b'olam haba. It seems to be poshut that it's enjoyable. So there's an amazing diuk in that pas in the Mishnah of us. The Mishnah says, "Kachi darchat shatora." This is the way of Torah. Pas melech tochal. Eat bread and salt. Mayim tzura tishta. Eat measures of water. Or tzishin. Sleep on the floor. V'chai tzara tichya. And if life is difficult, live through it. Uvetorah to omel and toil in Torah. Then the Mishnah says something very important. Im ata osekein. If you do this, if you live a life of Torah, so then what will happen? Ashrecha. Only Mata Osekin. You know what the Milo of Yisro was? Before he could taste the Torah, before he toiled in Torah to make that jump, to make that leap, that was his greatness. That's what's very special. Somebody who's born with a connection to Torah understands how enjoyable it is. But to jump into Torah from the outside and then get into it, Mata Osekin, and then you're going to enjoy it, that is very challenging. That is very difficult. What does it mean for us? It means for us that a person will only truly enjoy what it means to be a Torah Jew, imata osekein. If you actually start doing it, can you explain to a boy? I mean, look, we have some Shanav guys sitting here. Can you explain to a boy who, before he comes to yeshiva, you can actually enjoy sitting and learning for a few hours on an Erev Shabbos on a Friday morning? Can you explain that? Can you put it into terms? No, you can't put it into terms. You can't explain it. He's having a good time. He enjoys, you know, watching things, hanging out, and doing and wasting his time. Can you explain that a person would actually opt not to watch a bowl game or not to watch, you know, something that takes about 2 hours or so and live in somebody else's mind, and instead of doing all that thing, you'd want to sit and learn about Ravina and Rav Ashi and what is this chametz usher? It's not usher. How do you beer chametz? Not beer chametz. Can you explain that? You can't explain that, right? Imata osakein. You can only truly taste it and understand it if you actually sit down and start learning. And it's such an unbelievable thing. You know, a person can come to us as Rebbeim, as peers, and say, I'm not feeling it. Well, it's all in that Mishnah, Imata Osekein. And it's a famous marshal. I heard from Rav Asher Zell at Rubenstein Zatzal. He said, you can't taste the strawberry shortcake if you're still chewing spearmint. Somebody says to you, I'm not enjoying learning, I'm not enjoying Avodas Hashem. So you have to ask him, are you still chewing spearmint? Right? Everybody knows if you're chewing spearmint gum, you can't enjoy a taste of strawberry shortcake. It's not possible. It's an impossibility. Other people have a muscle of somebody who's invited to a wedding and they have the most delicious food and he's starving beforehand and he eats an onion before and everything he eats is sharp or he says something spicy that's the only thing he could have. You can't enjoy it. That's the word of this Mishnah. Imata Osekein. Can you explain to a boy? Now, a guy can say, oh, I learned 3 hours, and then he went to watch, and then he went to shmooze, and then he went to this and that. Can you explain to him, I'm not feeling it? It's not shy to feel it. It's only shy to feel it, Imata Osekein. The Milo of Yisra is that he jumped in without feeling it. And he went and he jumped in, and then afterwards it came. But to be an outsider, when you're on the outside looking in, it's not possible to feel the greatness and the joy of Torah in this world. And this is such a huge yisod, because a person will never understand what it means to be a Torah Jew if he never experiences it. You can talk to somebody till you're blue in the face, till he's blue in the face, and try to explain to them what it means to be a Ben Torah, but it's an impossibility. And Kadosh Baruch Hu made it that way, right? We know that Torah is pure. It's not shayach. Now that I'm just thinking about it, right? For example, we know the Torah was given in the Midbar. The idea of the Midbar, the Torah, it had to be given in the Midbar because the Anivus, Shavo. It can't have any other distractions. Perhaps another mile of the Midbar is there are no distractions. The Torah had to be given in a place where there are no distractions. It has to be in the Midbar where there's nothing else going on. We know that, I remember, I'll never forget, Erev Parshas Yisro. It's got to be 20-something years, right? So I remember I was in the Mir Yeshiva, Erev Shabbos, and Mamash snowed. And when it snows, again, perhaps similar to New York this past week, if 2 feet of snow, I don't remember as a child really experiencing 2 feet of snow where you're off for a number of days in a row. Maybe, so somebody says, what do you mean, 1996? I said, yeah, 1996, I was in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. I remember, if you just understand what it means, 1996, my parents sent me, if I remember correctly, they sent me newspaper clippings of the pictures of the snow, meaning there was no smartphone. It was like, take a picture and send it, okay? And I feel like it wasn't so long ago. But anyway, so it must be, I don't know, what year? 2002, 2003, I don't know. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Yisro, Mir Yeshiva, Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh. There was snow on the ground. I remember, trudging through the snow. And that day, Rav Nosson Tzvi Zatzal set of shoes in his house. You know what he said? This is Mamashai Kabbalah Satara. Why? Because it was total silence in Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh. Usually there's buses, there's this. There was snow on Erev Shabbos Parshas Yisro 20 years ago. It was silence. Mamashai Kabbalah Satara. Why? Because you can't have any distractions. When you go ahead and you learn Torah, you can't be distracted. Imata Osa Kane, you have to jump in completely. You have to jump in completely. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So this is the biggest lesson and the biggest thing to keep in mind to anybody who's trying to go in Torah and Avoda. It's not possible to feel the sweetness and the enjoyment of the Ashrech, the Tovach, Ashrech of Olam Hazeh, unless you're totally keyed in, you're totally focused, you're in it. Imata Osa Kane. Right, and again, the Mishnah is talking about lofty things, right? Just eating bread and salt. Yeah, you have to be on that much, meaning you don't have to mamish, eat bread and salt in order to acquire Torah. You have to be willing to be in that situation. You have to say, you know what, I don't need the filet mignon. I don't need the caviar, obviously, or I don't need the snapple. I don't need all that stuff. If somebody gives it to you, okay, you can enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with it. But the point is, in order to really get into the Torah, in order to feel it, you have to suppress all the distracting noise. That's the pshat. Why everything stopped from Matan Torah, and you have to do it. Because if you don't do it, if you're poseach, as they say, if you're poseach as shtei seifim, it doesn't work. If you're focused on so many different things in your life, other distractions, it's not going to work. And that's the Milo of Yisro, that he was able to jump in even though he didn't have the Torah yet. I once sat next to somebody at a bris, and he told me, he said he knows a convert, and the convert told him that he thinks every Jew should convert. What was he saying? That obviously somebody who comes from, Yisro, came from all the other religions of the world, somebody who wasn't born into Torah, and made a metamorphosis, transformed his whole 180-degree turn, that's the best. The lesson to all of us, we should all convert, we should also make 180-degree turns. I was about to say that tomorrow night we're having a Baal Tshuva speak here. What does it mean to be Baal Tshuva? There's a famous story. Somebody came to the, I think, if I remember correctly, one of the Rebbes from Gary said, I learned in a yeshiva, which is generally for Baal Tshuva, but I'm not a Baal Tshuva. And he said, why not? We're all Baal Tshuva. We should all convert. Dahainu, we should all find the things that we need to work on and take those either midos or the ways that, the things that we're doing and transform them 180 degrees. And each one of us can find something that we can transform and change 180 degrees. It doesn't have to be, Shomer Shabbos, now I am Shomer Shabbos. It can be in things that are perhaps, each one according to his own way. We all have to convert. We all have to go ahead and jump in. And the only way we'll really feel the growth and the connection to Torah and Mitzvos is if we actually do it. And that's the biggest lesson. I remember when as a Sharabet student, I had the schus of having a chavrusa with an Adam Gadol in Ur Yishalayim back in the day. There was a Israeli kolel right next to the yeshiva. And there was a Choshev Rosh Kolel, whose name was Tzvi Kahana Grishko Zatzal. I mean, his originally was Grishko. Anyone know those Grishko family? A close friend of mine from Five Towns. It's his great uncle. He changed his name, the Russian name of Grishko, to Kahana because he was a Kohen. Anyway, so I said I had all these questions and this and that. And he said to me, no questions, just sit and learn. Just that was his. And then, unfortunately, he passed away a few weeks after we started this Chavrusa. Like every year, somebody used to learn with him, Mesillas Yesharim. I had learned with him a few times, and unfortunately, he passed away. But that's what he said. Hey, questions, should you do this, should you do that? No questions. You're not to Isakin, just sit down and learn. You sit down and learn, then it all falls into place. And that's number one. Number two, I happened to open up my email for the Vera Parsha this week in English, and he says a beautiful mashal. He's talking about the idea that we don't feel what we're doing in Torah mitzvahs is really having a hashpah. Of course, the ideal we just explained, you'll feel it in this world only if you're disconnected from other things and you actually toil in Torah. If you're out to Osakane, then you'll feel the enjoyment. The other thing is, what's with the next world? The next world. I don't feel it. So he brings down a beautiful mashal and that brings out this point. He said there were two brothers that used to compose music together. And they sold the music, and they enjoyed, and the music was enjoyed around the world, etc. And one time they were working in their music studio, and there was an explosion, unfortunately. And both of them lost their ability to hear. They both became deaf. So one brother said, that's it. I can't hear my music anyway. You know, I can't enjoy it. I'm going to stop composing music. And the other one said, you know what, I'm going to continue. And he continued, even though he couldn't hear, but he knew music very well, so he continued to compose music. Many years passed, and they came out, with the modern technology and so on. They were able to regain their hearing again. So obviously, they had an operation, they got their hearing back. And obviously the brother who continued to compose songs all along was now able to listen and enjoy his beautiful music. So that's the mashal. The nimshal is obvious. The nimshal is when a person is going through Avodas Hashem and he says, I don't feel it. It's not working for me. I'm not enjoying it. It's too tough. I'm not enjoying the sweetness of Torah. So what do you say to him? Don't worry about it. Continue. Imata Osakin. Continue and continue and continue. Push yourself and push yourself and continue learning. And then what's going to happen is eventually you'll reach the point where you'll enjoy it again. It's most likely in this world, and if not, certainly in the next world. And then he used most of it. Leo Rabinovich Shlita says this is the pshat with Corona right now. One of the things with Corona is a person they lose their taste and their enjoyment in Torah, right? So what's the pshat? You don't stop. A person who, again, some of you can relate to this, right? If you can't taste, you feel like you don't need to eat, you don't enjoy the eating, but you do it anyway because otherwise you won't live. You have to eat. you'll become afflicted with other things if you don't eat, right? But you do it anyway, even though you can't taste. The same thing with Torah and mitzvahs. Even if you're not feeling it, even if you're not tasting it, you're not enjoying it. These guys with the music, it doesn't make a difference. You continue and continue and continue, and eventually it'll come. That's the sort of this mission. Imata Osakein. That's what you got to do. And I hope, I don't know how else to impart this huge, huge life lesson. That whatever it is, person says, I'm burning out, I'm having difficulty, just keep on pushing. You should see this inside. I should really bring it into you. The Chosin Yeshua writes that to become a masmid, all you have to do is push for a few weeks or a few months. You mama should push yourself. It's like an acquired taste, and then boom, and then it's smooth sailing. You think about, obviously, the Gedolim that we lost this past week. Baruch Hashem, I was zochah to see both of them. David Soloveitchik, his mamash lives right around the corner from Rechov Meir Sha'arim, Rechov Malchus Yisrael, actually, and Rechov Amos. I drove by his house, I don't want to say hundreds of times, it could be hundreds of times. And once, Baruch Hashem, I went in on a Hanukkah with my son to get a bracha just to see his face. Unbelievable. But do you see how these people lived? Rav Yitzchak Shiner, we took the guys there. You have no idea. I'm saying his kitchen was like the size of this table. I'm saying, you can see their pictures. There's pictures somewhere of his house. I saw it recently. Right? Mamish, primitive, super primitive. Rav Steinman, who can even discuss Rav Steinman's house? You know, the famous story of Rav Steinman. They said, no, why don't you want to paint your walls, make a change? He said, the only thing I need to change is me. I don't need to change anything else. It's about changing me, not about changing the paint job in my house. But the point is, what's the shot? Now, obviously, it's like a side mila. It's not a side mila, because if you're enjoying life because you're connected to Hashem, you're connected to Torah, who needs a more elaborate house? Who needs a fancier house? Who needs all the extras? Like we saw that huge Rashi, which I think is a huge Rashi. The Rashi in the beginning of Klal Gadol that tells us that Lo Yochel. Right? Lo Yochel, it says that what's Lo Yochel? Why does Lo Yochel include any Hanoah? Because what it's really telling us is that any Hanoah, right, is for what? Is to get to food, right? What other Hanoahs are there? You don't need money for, you know, luxuries and amenities. It's a pshat. Right, the reason why lo yochel means nisar hana is because that there's nothing else. Meaning, ultimately, you're selling it to make money. Well, yeah, what do you need money for? The only thing you can need money for, the only hana that there really is food. Like, what else is there? There are no other expenses be'etzem. But you sold this by the gedolei Yisrael. Obviously, it went both ways. The reason why they didn't need any amenities because they were connected to Torah, but also the reason they were connected with Torah because they didn't need any amenities. So it worked both ways. Why? Imatosa came. I'm not saying you have to be anti-luxuries. Not saying you have to be anti-amenities. But to understand what's our focus in life? Our focus is Limud HaTorah, and we know from the Mishnah and Avos, we know it clearly. Imata Oisikrein Ashrecha BaOlam Hazeh VeTovach BaOlam Haba. That's the key. If you're connected to Torah now, it doesn't mean you have to learn the rest of your lives 18 hours a day and go to kol. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that even if you go out and become Baal Batim, your focus of your life, the main focus of your life, is Limud HaTorah, right? We're going to be asked after 120, Kavati Itim LaTorah. There's nothing wrong with going out to work. There's nothing wrong with it. Kavati Itim LaTorah. But that has to be the center point of your life. Imata Osakin. Ashrecha B'Olam Hazeh, Tolach B'Olam Haba. Have a great Shabbos.